Welcome to Act Natural, the podcast where we talk to actors. I'm Nick Thaman.
And I'm Anthony Fariga.
And today we're joined with three guests, starting with, let's go down the row.
Bella.
Katie.
And Steven, with a V.
You guys all three of you started out in theater or went straight into, that's kind of the pipeline, right? Is theater and then screen acting, or?
For me it was.
Same for me, yeah.
I never really did theater. I did like competitive acting in high school, was a speech and debate event. So,
explain a little bit more.
Yeah, like every Saturday for 12 hours, for like 5 months, we'd go to a school, and it was speech and debate, like speech and debate.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain events in speech and debate called interpretive events, which are competitive acting. Okay. So I did that. So I acted, me and my partner would act out. We had to cut down a movie to 10 minutes, perform it in front of judges,
mm-hmm.
and they would give us critiques and circle us, rank us among whoever else was competing.
How
competing.
How is that speech and debate?
Well, okay, so in speech and debate, there's debate events, which is what you normally think of.
Right.
In speech and debate. Then there's speech events, which are
the other word.
Yeah, what I did.
Okay.
Yeah, so then I did that and then went to film.
Sick.
Do you remember what movies you would cut down for that event?
Yes, we did Bridge to Terabithia. We did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Okay.
That's a good movie.
We did Juno.
I haven't seen that one.
There we go.
Juno's really good. Yeah.
My question is, what school did you go to that had the funding to have that extracurricular? Because my school had nothing like that. I was lucky to get drama club.
Yeah, I went to Stowe High School.
Gotcha.
Which is very near here. But there's like no other schools around. We had to travel like 45 minutes to an hour to get to the tournaments.
Got you.
Mm. Well, that's pretty cool. Sorry, it's early.
Thank you.
Have you either Katie or Steven done any dabbled in speech and debate?
No, I wish I could say I had. It sounds really cool.
Yeah, no, likewise. I never, like, I was given the option. Our speech was like an actual class that you went to every day in your regular school schedule. But I opted for the college credit because I'm a nerd.
Ooh, but there were like caveats to the performance. So it had to be 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We had to wear suits, like professional attire, no props. We could not look at each other.
Why? You could not look at each other.
We could never make eye contact.
Why?
We couldn't use props. We had to like make images with our bodies and combine.
Speech.
It was really weird. Thinking about it. Yeah, it's called duo interpretation. You can look it up someday.
I'm blown away right now.
Jamie, pull that up.
Yeah, I guess I'm Jamie. I don't know. All of you guys, so what's interesting about Katie is you do a lot of radio. Is it radio or is it podcast or what's, it's all been done before.
Both.
It's all been done radio hour.
Yeah, so that one's the podcast. So that's like audio drama, like if you think of like old-timey like radio plays, that's what that is, except it's a podcast. But I also actually do work at a radio station, so I record like spots for that as well. So little of both.
Okay, cool. Wait, you record like commercials or like?
I do,
you're listening to the radio that we're on right now.
Yeah. Ooh. BAS Broadcasting. It's like a group of radio stations around like around Cedar Point. It's like Mix 102.7.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of them.
That's really cool.
Thanks. It's surreal to hear myself when I'm in a store and I hear my voice. It like brain jams me. I'm like trying to order and I'm like, that's me. That's me. I'm like, and the weather is blah, 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 blah.
Has anyone ever been like, you're from the radio?
No, not like while I've been wondering if that would happen, but I feel like I sound different. Yeah. Because, you know, I don't, like, I definitely pep it up. Like, when I'm in the studio, I'm trying to sound like a radio person, so I feel like...
Have any of you guys been recognized for something you've done? like on the wild, if you will.
I mean, honestly, just anywhere.
Or that too, yeah.
Like, there were a couple times where I was stopped on CSU's campus. They were like, "You were in that show," and I was like, "Which one?" And they said, "The one that just played." And I was like, "Oh yeah, that was me." You know, and then nice. They were just like, "You were really great." And I said, "Thank you," because I'm awkward. And then we'd stand there for a couple minutes and then go our separate ways. But
I actually recognized Katie on a shoot that I was on.
Yes.
I was doing a totally like unrelated shoot. So there's a film by a Kent State student called The Cough. It is a cult classic among only us.
Yeah.
I love that movie. And I was on somebody else's set. It was like one of those like super long days. And it was like, I realized almost immediately, because Katie just like showed up because she got like cast in it. And I was like, "Oh my God, that's the woman with the cough." And so I was like, "Were you in Woman with the Cough?" And she was like, "You've seen that?"
I was so shocked. You could have knocked me over. I was like, "No way." I mean.
Yeah. That was awesome.
It was awesome. Oh. It was so funny. I was like, "That no way that this is the thing that people recognize me for." I'm surprised.
I've seen that movie a lot. I like to show it to people.
No, I gotta see it. I love it.
It's on YouTube. Well, technically, there's the man with the cough, and then there's the woman with the cough, and then there's the combined to the cough.
There's also
kind of like the like final version.
And then you can watch it in black and white too if you want to.
Oh, really?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Cinema, man.
I think it's because it was inspired by Twilight Zone, and they were like, Twilight Zone is black. I don't know.
That makes sense.
Have you been recognized before, Bella?
Yes, I have. Ooh. I went to a film festival in Cleveland recently to support some Kent State films there. I was not in any of them. And some people, it was in Cleveland, yeah, so I had been in some films that shot in Cleveland. So some people recognized me there, and they were like, "Oh, I saw that. They played it in my class." I was like, "Oh, cool." They're like, "Yeah, I recognized your ponytail."
What? Yeah. Oh, yeah, short brunette ponytail. That's you.
That's her, yeah.
from a mile away. Yeah. Besides Katie, I don't think I've ever like seen a person or like worked on a different set with somebody who, it was cool. It was weird when we did Powerball because Steven, you don't actually know this. I think it's okay that we can say this now.
Sure.
We pretty much wrote that role for you.
Guys, thank you so much.
You were like our first pick. Yeah. But we had to treat it like it was an audition. Like,
You gotta go through the steps and be like, "Well, we have to audition."
And we actually did really like your audition too. It wasn't just
that wasn't
like,
yeah.
Oh, stop. You flatter me.
And so I'm trying to think if I've done that again. Oh, I guess I do that. I probably shouldn't do that because the character because I literally just did that for a thing I'm shooting tomorrow. But what's funny about, because Steven plays our lead in Powerball, a film me and Anthony made last spring. And one of the characters, speaking of writing a character for an actor in mind, Steven has a stepbrother who's like a real kind of like stuck up, like
douche, you could say it.
Yeah, who's like you know, like crypto and stuff like that.
A crypto
like
a really, bro,
like, mama's boy.
Yeah,
and the guy we had in mind for that is like 6'2" and huge, like jacked. And so the bit was that he was gonna be like a gym bro type, kind of like big like buff guy. But so I just wrote him for this guy, and then he's like, "Yeah, I can't do it." And then I was like, "That was a bad idea." So what we ended up getting was, I think actually better, is the exact opposite. Is like very small, scrawny, like guy, who's very like kind of mousy and just like the exact opposite look. And I think
it worked so
it
well.
It still works so well.
It worked so well.
Yeah, that was. But that's.
Shout out Colin Lewis. I'll say that.
Shout out Colin Lewis.
If you're listening to this, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why you would be, but. He's not. I don't think he acts anymore, though.
I don't know. He's busy getting like a comp sci degree and like trying.
Yeah, he's actually in my creative coding class this semester.
Whoa.
Have
you guys coded before?
I tried teaching myself. Oh. There's like a bunch of those free programs, and I'm just like, this sort of makes sense. You know, I gotta work on it.
I was on my solo learn grind for a while, but it was hard. I was like, my brain's not meant to do this stuff. Yeah. I should just give up.
Wait, what's that one web Scratch?
Scratch.
Scratch.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I love Scratch.
I think you can play FNAF in Scratch now.
You probably could. There's a lot of things in Scratch.
Yeah.
This is kind of weird. I don't know why we got...
No, that's fine. I'm curious. What was the last, if you can talk about it, what was the last project that you guys shot or recorded, or pretty much the last piece you've performed for? I'm curious. I want to know if you can tell. Or
film specifically?
Or anything. Radio show as well.
Or theater performances.
Last night, yes. I was in Requiem at CPT. Tonight's our last night. So that's the most recent thing for me right now.
Okay.
Still happening. Yeah. That's my answer.
My most recent was Bunkers. It was really fun. I've kind of tried to move away from theater because I'm a busy guy. Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of commitment. So props to you. Also love CPT. So,
it's a good theater.
It is great theater, yeah.
Yesterday we wrapped on a Kent State film, Rinse and Repeat. So that was the last thing I've done. But this last month has been really crazy for films because like all the film students are in the same classes.
Yeah.
So I acted like a lot of them for a month and then nothing after that. I think there was one weekend in March where I filmed 3 days in a row, and they were all three different films.
Whoa, that must be a lot.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah, okay. They're very different characters. So.
Oh, man.
Do you guys shows your range. That's
yeah,
all.
Yeah. Do you guys feel like when you're on a student production that because everyone's in the same class, Anthony's phone went off, because we're in the same class, because they're in the same class together and they all know each other and... You know, obviously they need actors, and our program does not really connect with actors, so it's very much up to the individual. And because of that, there can be a tendency for the actor to be kind of their own, they're kind of on their own. They're not really treated like a prop, kind of. Mm. I think we talked about this on a previous episode.
Yeah.
I'm curious, have you guys felt that way, or what was like the most kind of like your favorite set experience, I should say, without naming, you don't have to name the film, but I'm curious what was that like, if you have one, or if it's all negative, that would also be interesting.
Kent State film sucks.
Yeah.
No. I honestly, I've had such a good experience with all of my Kent State film projects that I've worked on, and you know, I've been, I think Bunkers was my fifth project, and honestly, like I've felt so welcomed, and not, you know, like a prop or just something to be utilized in the project. Like I felt I've connected with everybody, and I feel like that really helps the relationship build, and you know, the next, because I know a lot of the times you borrow classmates from, you know, earlier classes in the film major schedule. And so then when it comes their time to do, like, the production two projects, they're just, like, reaching out to me. And they're like, hey, you know, I had you in mind. You know, could you come audition for this? And then we'll see if we can cast you, because I really like, you know, what you bring to the table. And I'd love to have you back. And so it's just a really welcoming, warm environment. And I've never felt out of place or disrespected.
Hmm. Awesome.
Yeah, I guess I agree. I mean, I feel like whenever you get into any group, not even just like at Kent or like in film, but like anytime you start a new project, it's like, oh, you know, there's certain people who've worked together before, but like then you start to be one of those people who like works together. You I don't know, even like coming to Kent State, it was like, oh yeah, I recognize someone from this other project. So I've always felt like excited about meeting, and I've never felt like people were so closed off, you know, even if they have a relationship before. It's like I always felt like everyone's been pretty welcoming. You know, we're all making art together, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've always felt welcomed on set. Sometimes, like, you know, these kids all take the same classes together, and they're all friends, and maybe when lunch break happens, I don't have anybody to talk to. It just feels like going to work for me, and I've never really had an issue with that. One film I did in Cleveland was the best film I've ever been on. And I think a big part of that was that everybody there was asking me questions about me. And yeah, I feel like a lot of times on set, mainly people just talk to me about my character and not actually me as a person. And when I was in Cleveland, they all were very interested in who I was aside from acting, and it didn't feel like they had a lot of inside jokes that they were keeping from me. And I was just very surprised about that because it was all people that I had never, ever met before in an environment I'd never been in. So I was just very pleasantly surprised about that.
Freaking sweet. Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, if I want to get to know you, I've got your resume pulled up here. And you have a column for your special skills.
Yeah.
And you have skateboarding.
I do skateboard.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. A lot of those special skills on there are when I apply to roles on backstage, they're like, you have to have this skill. You have to be able to ice skate. And I'm like, okay, I can ice skate. I'll just put that in my special skill column. So they're not like, I do skateboard though.
Yeah.
What I like on the website backstage is you're able to rank how good you are at each skill, which I very much appreciate that because like I'm not a rock star by any means, but I do know the G chord.
I can play Time of Your Life by Green Day.
Yeah.
Also, there was if you heard an audio interference, that was me trying to fix the gain, and this board from 2002 or something doesn't like that. So that's what that was, but don't worry about it. Skateboarding.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any special skills, Steven or Katie?
None that really compare to that. I guess in a similar vein, I play the bass guitar.
Oh.
Can I put Rubik's Cube?
Yes, you can, honestly, because I've had mine for like a decade. I still can't figure it out. I've looked up tutorials. It eludes me. So next time I'm down in Kent, I'm gonna bring it so you could solve it, and then I can say, look what I did.
Yeah.
But I have a boater's license. Does that count? I can pilot your boat.
Does.
Probably.
Yeah, that's nice.
Okay. That's interesting because we had our last episode that we recorded with Juliana, Marilyn, and Shannon Matelko. Shannon is actually certified to scuba dive, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, get out.
So,
yeah.
So if I can't scuba, what's this all been about?
What is that a reference to?
The Office. That's a Creedism.
Okay, yeah. I was thinking of I Think You Should Leave, where he does the zip line.
Oh, yeah.
He's on a all right, so for he's on. It's a sketch where it's like a Love Island type thing, where it's like a big extravagant house, and they're like, I think Ryan just wants to be here for the zip line, because there's a zip line over the pool, and he just like keeps going on, it, and he's like, yeah, I'm just here for the zip line.
That's so funny.
But Katie, what are your special skills? Tell us all about your special skills.
I really struggle with special skills, honestly, because I feel like it's so subjective, like. I feel like I really try and like lowball myself and be like, I'm not good at anything. And then when people are like, we need someone to do something, I'm like, oh, I can like, sure, I can hold a flute. Like I know how to play it enough. And so I feel like I'm really bad at special skills because like in some context, yeah, I might be the best singer. But in other contexts, I'm the worst singer in the room. So it's like, and I try and like gauge it based on like what the project is and like who's working on it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I would say that because you've done your radio show, I feel like voice acting could be a special skill,
you know,
because that takes some kind of talent to be able to mimic your voice in such a way that without the lack of a screen in front of an audience
or any like physicality to like what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. It's always like I was like getting my head right because it's like Tom Kenny, Tara Strong, like all these people are so amazing, and then I'm like, I can like do some voices sometimes with practice.
I can make a funny voice. Yeah.
it's fun comparing yourself to like the best to ever do it, because
right,
it's like, why do I try?
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, it's like, that's why I struggle so much with special skills. That's why I also love the backstage like ranking system, because I'm like, okay, well, if like the average like Ohioan, maybe I'm okay at voice acting, but like I don't know, like if I'm in a room with like the best voice actors ever, then I'm the worst. Obviously.
you, Tony Hawk, in a room together, who's coming out alive?
Oh, definitely me.
Yes, I can tell.
Yeah, I can do an ollie some days. Yeah. So I feel like I have that
vibes-based
advantage.
Ollie. Yeah.
That's amazing to me.
So what does it count if I can at least stay on the skateboard? Does that count? Can I add it to my list then?
You can.
Okay, cool.
I give you approval. All
right.
We're taught that you're supposed to put everything on your special skill list. I've seen people's resumes. They put walking, hula hooping.
Okay, to be fair, I have no hip coordination. Yeah, I cannot hula hoop.
Everything. And I'm like, I don't feel comfortable saying everything that I can especially, do. It's weird.
Especially walking.
Maybe
almost anybody can walk.
My guess, I guess it's a fashion thing. Like
that
a runway. Acting, one star.
Yeah, right.
I'm just being honest.
It's like one of those questions where it's like, name your top three favorite movies, and you're like, I don't know what a movie is. What do you
mean?
Never seen
a movie in my life.
I hate that question.
Yeah, it's because then you're. I can't explain it, but I don't know what special skills I have. Obviously, I've got some, but again, I cannot think of them.
Having a V in your name.
Yes. Yeah, the right way to spell
that's special,
it.
Special, yeah.
Winning the lottery.
Winning the lottery. Yeah.
Yeah. That was fun. We had to design like a fake lottery ticket.
That was so cool.
For the thing we shot. And we needed to obviously make a lot just to have backups. And so we printed a lot of normal ones, but we also printed like a tiny one, a really stretched out one, just kind of like a bunch of random ones for fun. I think I still have those, but props are fun when it's just paper and doesn't cost actual money.
Yeah.
I need to find mine. Anyways.
Have you guys worked with props? That's a stupid question. What's the most fun prop you've worked with? That's what I should ask. Like a sword or like a gun?
A knife.
A knife?
Yeah. You were there.
I was there, yeah.
What do you have?
A knife. That was me. Just stabbing, like blood splattering.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
It was. We had one chance to do it.
Yeah.
And I was very scared.
And they had to put a lot of plastic on the ground, and there was still fake blood that we had to clean up, but it was fine. Yeah, I think that's going to turn out really cool. A fake knife.
Yeah, it was fake.
Have you ever worked with puppets? Like a hand puppet? That's a prop. Or is that a costume?
That's a costume. I'm pretty sure that would be a costume. Depending on what. Like if you're playing a ventriloquist, prop. But if you're like doing Avenue Q, that's a costume.
And puppets are weird.
Puppets, yeah.
This is not like a puppet that you put on your hand, but in the show I'm doing right now, we have like this bird on a stick, like a bamboo pole. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to like fly it around and stuff.
Oh, okay.
That's very fun. I definitely feel like a kid. Like I'm like, yeah, look at this bird fly around.
So, that's sick.
I don't know.
That's
something.
Yeah,
something.
No, that's okay. Props are cool,
Steven.
I'm racking my brain. There's nothing too extraordinary. Like I did A Streetcar Named Desire, Tennessee Williams. If you've ever done a Tennessee Williams play, you know it's incredibly prop heavy, and it's maybe all the sweet tea that I drank because it was supposed to be Southern Comfort, but like. Other than that, the dead cat in Crooks. Never mind.
Oh, yeah.
Not a real dead cat, for those of you listening.
But it
was,
looks like it.
It was wild.
Yeah.
I forgot
about that. Yeah, that's, oh, man. It's just like a shot. It's like one shot, I think. And it's just this very real looking, like, gray, just like dead cat on the floor. I think they rented it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was,
can I answer, wild. Can I answer this question?
What? Your co-host.
Yeah, I know, but I held a sword on my one.
Oh yeah,
oh, that's
the okay. one. The one film I got casted on. I held a sword.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Anthony played a spooky entity called the Shadow.
Ooh. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And he kills everyone.
Got to
spoiler
watch.
Alert.
Nobody's gonna. It opens with someone dying. I think it's fine.
Yeah, that's the one and only time I've ever reacted. Because the person who was making it needed somebody who was like a tall, slender. Man and somebody who went
slender man.
And one of my friends who has now graduated told them like, hey, I know this guy named Anthony, you should reach out to him, and they did so, and I did it.
Hell yeah,
gotta watch it now.
Yeah.
no you don't.
Oh, I also smoked a fake cigarette. That was fun.
Those are always
fun.
Yeah. Yeah, have the like wildflowers in it or something.
Oh, cool.
We had a whole pack of them.
Is that what's in there?
That's what they told me.
Oh, I thought it was asbestos. But
we learned we learned on a past episode that fake cigarettes in movies aren't real cigarettes. I thought they were real cigarettes this whole time.
What do you mean they're not real?
When they burn, it's like a fake. Like that's what you used, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not. They're like just like there's like paper in them, I guess. Mm-hmm. I thought they just were like ripping cigarettes all day.
That's what they're I thought like, too. Okay, yeah. Well, I'm glad I wasn't the only one.
I mean, I'm sure it's not good to breathe it in, but it's not nicotine.
But also, is tobacco good to breathe in?
No. Jury's out.
According to Big Pharma, it's not.
Where's the farthest you guys have traveled for a role, like a performance? Because I know, Bella, you've kind of been all over the place.
Not really. Just Cleveland is the farthest.
That's over the place.
Oh, thank you.
If it's longer than 30 minutes, I don't know.
They asked me to go to West Virginia for the film that I was shooting in Cleveland for one scene, one shot. And I said no. Because they're like, we're going to stay in this cabin that has no running water. It's in the middle of nowhere. And I'd met them for like an hour. And I was scared.
that's going to be valid. A no from me,
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, they turned out to be really, really nice people. And they got a stand-in, and it looked really good. But, yeah, I could have gone to West Virginia.
Different girl with a ponytail.
Yeah. Right.
I think Pittsburgh was the farthest for me. It was 3 hours from where I was living at the time.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, not the worst. I would go farther, though, for sure.
What was it for?
It was for this... I was the extra in this movie that I don't even think is released. It was called Unsinkable. It was about, like, the Titanic. I think it was about, like, Molly Brown, like, the Unsinkable Molly Brown, if you've ever heard of her. I never got to see it. I just know that we were dressed up really fancy. We were in a theater, and we were, like, applauding, and that was that.
The furthest, I think Kent would be the furthest I've ever routinely commuted for a project. I did a couple shows at Lakeland Community College, which is over in like the Cartland, Willoughby area, but I'm still pretty sure that's closer to Lakewood than Kent is.
What's that? So
we ask so much of actors. I do wonder. I've been thinking about this because, like I said, I'm shooting something tomorrow. With theater, like you said, Steven, it's a lot more commitment. It's a lot more work. But because of that, I imagine you get a much better understanding of who you're playing and, like, the mannerisms.
100%, yes.
So with screen acting, I mean, if you get the script beforehand, which I imagine is probably always the case, just because it's, like, you want to know what's in the film you're acting in. Mm-hmm. Do you... Because there's just so little time to prepare, get in a character. I'm just curious, like, how do you feel about that versus theater? Like, because I imagine it's more difficult, but...
That's a great question.
Thanks.
Yeah. I, for one, do really enjoy that aspect of theater where, like, you can... Especially because typically in most... environments for theater, you sit down, you do a table read. For Streetcar, because it's so dense, the whole table read took a week. We were at the table reading for a week, just the play. Yeah, dissecting it. Our director, shout out Nathan Mata, he was fantastic, super understanding and very patient with me as a little itty bitty freshman. And we went into the nitty gritty of the Tennessee Williams play, which you have to do. And, but comparatively to film, like, yes, you can get the script earlier, like before you shoot. And obviously we do read throughs, but we don't really go into it too much. And a lot of theater read throughs I feel are very similar to what we did for Streetcar, where, like, you know, there's one or two days where you kind of dissect the script together. And you do kind of do that with film, but at least in my experiences. But I do try to sit down and read the script through. but you know, everything goes out the window once you've got a character idea in mind. Mm-hmm. If the director, after seeing that first take, says change it, you know, I strong choice, wrong choice, and so you know, it could really work, and then it could just everything you just put in just goes right out the window. Yeah, so you know, it's I enjoy doing the table read and dissecting everything and establishing that character for me. Mm-hmm. But you know, actors do what actors do.
Do you feel like when you're like, because I mean, there's probably overbearing directors or directors where there's a lot of they watched a documentary about Stanley Kubrick and they're like, yo, I should do that. Have you had that experience where it's just like take after take and it's just kind of like, what do you want from me?
Yes, I think some directors view actors as props. Like the only reason they're there is to carry out the very specific vision that the director has in their head, which is fine. That is why I'm there. Mm-hmm. But I think some directors fail to realize that you're hiring artists. And that's why you hire an actor and not just some random person, because an actor has opinions and has artistry and technique, and they're gonna make your vision better than you could ever imagine. And I think some directors just inhibit that.
The lack of collaboration.
You snapped for that one.
Oh, thank you.
A common motif we always come back to is trust. Trust between the performers and the people working on it.
Yes.
And it very much goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot, what was the question?
Directors being overbearing and dictators on the set.
Yeah, dictators.
Yeah.
Would you rather have a super overbearing, like, particular director or the opposite, a director who's very unprepared and kind of doesn't really know what they want?
Overbearing.
Yeah.
At least they know what they want.
I already answered this one for you before, but you did. I always do the, like, unprepared for me. Because overbearing, it's like you've already made up your mind. Unprepared, it's like, oh, I might still have a chance to, like, maybe I can present something to you that you'll like. And I don't know. I mean, it can be frustrating, of course. But like, if I had to pick between the two, I feel like I don't appreciate ego in art. Like, I got into this to have fun. And so I think if you're overbearing and you are frustrated with me about not giving you what you want, I'm like, then why did you ask me to be here? At least if you're unprepared, I'm like, you're open minded and we can like maybe create something together. So that's my preference personally.
Hmm. Am I getting paid? Because that could affect it.
That's a great question. Well, I feel like that's kind of that would just answer the question either way. I feel like, would it? Would that change your minds? Or
you know, Katie, you offer a strong argument. I'm gonna have to change my answer.
Oh,
I never looked at it that way before. I think if I had a loosey goosey kind of like do, and then he just that's the only direction he gives me, and if that's what happens, that's what happens. I make a choice. I've found myself really trying to branch out and make stronger choices, so I think that would benefit me as an actor and artist as well as the production as a whole.
Yeah, totally. Like Raymond Babkin at CPT, mm-hmm. after working with him, I've totally probably would have said the opposite, but like my answers changed because he's told me about like there's some of the greatest directors just kind of show up, and like he calls it like gardening. So like gardeners, like they just are there, and just their like presence can like, you don't even sometimes have to over direct, or like you can just inspire performances out of people. You don't even really have to be overbearing. So when that got into my brain, I was like, oh, I would rather deal with someone who can just like, even just the presence of a director kind of changes how I'm thinking, you know, whereas like if someone's like barking down my throat about like, oh, I want it to be this specific way, then I get in my head and I feel like it's not authentic. But even just like the presence of a director, I'm like, oh, I want to, you know, do my best. So sometimes like good direction, I think, can be done, you know, quieter. You know, yeah. You don't have to be. Yeah. I don't know.
No, that makes total sense. Mm-hmm. That's something. I think the director is very much the glue that holds both the crew and actors together. And mm-hmm. the last person you want to be in a bad mood or feel frustrated, I think, is the director mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. They have to very much kind of keep everybody else's. Because I mean, the person quote unquote in charge, you should feel like you're in good hands, no mm-hmm. matter if you're the lead or a production assistant. And that can be very challenging. But I think also just like the casting process, right? Like ideally as much of that is kind of figured out before you've cast the person so that less work needs to be done. Cause it's like what you said, it's totally. Like why, like you casted me, man.
Yeah. You could have picked someone else.
Yeah. What's the best food you've had on the set?
Wait, I want to answer the last question.
Go for it.
I still stand by, I would want an overbearing director because as an actor, I'm always, always coming to set with my strong ideas of who the character is. And I want the director to do the same, have that same preparedness. I'll always be flexible. And even if the director is not, at least at the very least, the first take of every scene is going to be my own. So it depends on who the editor is. My takes could have gone in every single time. You know, you have to like suck it up and deal with it while you're filming. But I think I'd rather have somebody who thought a lot about the project. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to change my answer again.
Speaking of the edit, I'm not going to ask I'll get back to the food question. Okay. But you provoked another question I want to ask is, one, do you guys watch the things you're in or listen to?
No. And that's not like in, I thought, you know, this whole process was bupkis and yeah. I don't like the end result and none of the people I worked with because obviously I wouldn't keep coming back. Right. Yeah. I liked the product that was, but I hate watching myself. Mm. It's atrocious. I am the worst actor ever every time I see myself act. And I was like, should have done, sorry, I just snapped next to the mic.
Okay.
I should have done that differently. I don't like the way I did that. You know what? Let me call the director. Let's reshoot this. You know, it's nothing that the crew did. It's nothing that the production went wrong or anything. It's just, you know, all my friends and family, they're like, yeah, let's see it. And I'm like, absolutely. But like,
I'm busy.
I'll send you the link. You know, it's like, yeah, I can't, I cannot watch myself act.
I want to hear you guys' opinion first.
It's hit or miss. It's hit or miss because, at the radio station, I have to listen and edit myself, which is very hard. So I've had to really, like, get better about just, like, you know, grinning and bearing it and, like, just, okay, you have to just listen and just be critical in the moment, but not too critical so that you're taking, like, hours to do something that should only take 30 minutes, right? But I'll watch it for practical purposes, like for a demo reel, and like sometimes, like with the podcast that's been going out for a while now, I'll go back just to like stay consistent or just to learn, like, because some of the stuff I recorded on that podcast was when I was 18 and that was a while ago, so I feel like after a certain amount of time has passed, I'm like, all right, I can, you know, evaluate it because with this much time, I'm not going to like it anyway. But it's very hard. I agree. It's so hard to like watch yourself. I'm like, wow, that was so bad, even if I just did it like a day ago. But I don't know. I'd never create if I like was too invested in what I was doing. I would probably just quit.
Right. Yeah.
I do watch my stuff, but it usually takes about a month for me to work up the courage to. Whenever I watch myself, like you guys, I feel like I'm so bad, but I know that subconsciously I must think that I'm really good. I must think that I'm amazing if I chose this career. Mm. I usually don't feel that way, but I know that subconsciously I must have felt that. Mm-hmm. And I also assume that when I watch something that I really hate my acting and I must have improved since then.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. Yeah. I think I think you guys are the worst judges of your performances.
Mm. Yeah, something like you. Something you are your own worst critic. Like, is that the old adage?
Not even that, but also I think it's a lot harder to get immersed in the actual like product, because the whole point of, you know, the whole idea of acting is, you know, convincing the viewer that you have these motivations, that you're trying to get these things across. But you know, as the person there, you know what you're thinking about. You know what your actual motivations are. You don't see the character. It's kind of impossible if they look like yourself.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to be objective. Well, sorry, like, just to go off of what you said, like, when I did, like, I watched some of the cough and, like, for demo reel purposes, and I was like, all I could see was, like, what was happening at the time, you know, like I was like, oh my god, they told me that I did that weird, and like now I can only see it, like why can you not add salt to something like a human being, you know what I mean, like, but that's what I'm thinking. Or I'm like, that pasta was so cold, and in between takes I'm like, this is the best dinner you've ever made, and we're like laughing because we're like, this is so cold and it tastes like garbage. But like, that's all I can see when I'm watching it, so I feel like I really cannot give it a good, I have no idea how it turned out. I mean, I have a sense, but like, it's hard to really be objective.
Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of theater, I think. And what you know, that's what separates theater from film, is like, you can't go back and watch your performance in theater. You can only recognize that you made that choice on the stage, and then you have to leave that choice on the stage. Mm-hmm. You know,
mm-hmm. I wanted to ask something, because Katie, you mentioned earlier that you had worked on a film that you have never seen before, and I was wondering for all of you if you've had that experience where you've been on a project and you've never seen the end result, and not because by choice you did not watch it, like we were just talking about, like it just does not exist in the ether of film.
Or it just never got sent to you.
Yeah. What's up?
Stephen's raising. I raised my hand.
Stephen's
sorry.
Raising his hand.
I'm very excited about this. So. How, I guess you could call it like an R-rated flick, but it's like, I don't even know how to start this. I auditioned for, there was a casting call that went out on this Facebook group that I'm a part of. I don't go on Facebook anymore. Not because of this, it's just other reasons, but like, there was this casting call and I auditioned for it, got the role. And then I was told where to show up for the first day of filming, and it was down in Rootstown, Ohio.
Yep. That's like,
dude, Ohio City's have the stupidest names.
Well,
pretty close to here.
Yeah, for everybody listening, Rootstown is middle of nowhere, Ohio, much like everywhere outside of Cleveland, Akron, Columbus, and Cincinnati. And it was kind of like an autobiopic of...
An autobiopic?
Yeah, so the writers of the film wrote about their life story with some embellishments, and it was about the dancers at the local strip club. And I don't know the full details. All I know is that I asked, you know, for demo and real purposes, I was like, so like, you know, when you have the finished product, would you mind, like, am I going to get a copy of that for my reel? And she has not gotten back to me through no fault of her own. I guess they're like, cause I did another film with her. She's fantastic. Like, she's really creative and she's great to work with. But like, I guess the person who she sent it to edit is like trying to extort her for more money. So she's, I don't know. Like I said, like I asked her about it and she said, don't ask about it. And I said, oh, okay. You know, and I let it be, but she was just like, long story short, I can't get it edited because the person I sent it to is trying to get more money out of me and trying to like pass it off as his own work and to make money off of it that way. Wow. And I was like, that is garbage. I'm so sorry to hear that, you know? Wow. And so, yeah, that is, and the unfortunate part is I told all of my friends and family, yeah, I'm filming this movie about strippers. And they all really want to see it. And I can't give them the finished project, you know, the finished product. But, yeah, so that's one where I haven't seen it.
Why do they want to see it?
Yeah.
I'm interested, so.
I'm interested, too. I want to see the final product. And I was in it.
What about you guys? Have you guys seen all the stuff you've seen? Well, or have been in, I should say?
Yeah, I mean.
Seen, unless you, I guess. Unless you don't want to talk about it. That's okay.
No. Well, for me, Failures is the one that I still haven't seen. And I actually still want to, like, ask and be like, hey, does anyone have that? Can I see it?
We actually could send that to you.
Oh, really? Yeah, I'd love to see it. Oh. That's one that I'm, like, I'm curious about because I was like, it felt good, but, you know.
Yeah, that was.
Seeing it is a different story.
That was the set I recognized you on. That was a fun. Yeah. That was a, it was like an all-day shoot in a gymnasium.
It was. It was very fun. Yeah. I really liked the actors on that.
Yeah. I didn't realize how much you could really get in one day. If you just kind of like buckle down and just like.
Oh, it was so organized. It was insane. I was really impressed. I was like, Kent State is showing out today. Like, they really prepared. We got so much done. And like, I've seen like professionals work less efficiently. So I was like, way to go. We really did it.
Yeah.
Bella.
No, I've seen everything.
Okay.
Sometimes it took a few months for them to everything that's been released. There's a ton of stuff that I've been in that just isn't done yet. But sometimes a few months go by, a year, and I ask them like, where is it? And they're like, oh yeah, and they send it.
It just seems to be a phenomenon with filmmakers and actors where like just for some reason. Filmmakers will not just send the completed thing afterwards to the actors, and it's just like
it could also be the same reason that you guys don't want to watch your things, like watching things that I have like made in the past, like when we screened Powerball at Short Sweet Film Festival. Do you remember what I was doing while I was
playing? Cringing so
hard. I was like slouched in my seat like this, shading my eyes. Like I literally I felt like I was gonna hit with like radiation. I like couldn't, I couldn't even watch it. I've seen it so many times too.
And I know every single line by heart.
Yeah, we do know every single line.
And also, we also cringe too. And this is also again like a filmmaker specific thing. But our credits are like 2 minutes long.
Dude, our credits are so long. That's because we shot them like the day before it was due. It's like a physical, like it's a piece of paper. It's paper on like the ground. So we shot it with, and then we slowed down the footage. I really like that concept. The issue is really long, and I just frankly didn't really have the time to like. Like, I could have, like, speed ramped it so it, like, kind of went faster, but, like, we didn't have time. And so the option was either do we just speed up the whole footage and make all the credits faster and, like, you can't really read them as better, or, like, for pacing, like, for the product, or do we slow them – do we keep them slow so everyone who worked on it, who will see it, can feel like they were properly credited?
Mm-hmm.
I think we came to the decision we'll do the annoyingly long credits so that people feel like they're fairly credited. Which I think I still stand by if I had to choose an option. But the consequence of that was every time we went to a festival where it was at, like the multiple ones at Best Westerns, where like, I'm like, oh God, here come the 2.5 minute credits. I'm like, oh, they just keep going.
No, I love that you tried to make people feel appreciated. Yeah. I think only in about half the films I'm in is my name spelled right.
Really?
In the credits. Aww. Yeah.
What did I spell wrong?
Yeah. Well, my name is spelled with 2 R's and 2 T's, so they either forget an R or forget a T, or sometimes they don't ask me if I wanted to be credited as Bella or Isabella, and I always want to be Bella, just to keep it consistent. Mm-hmm. And it's like people who called me Bella on set for a whole week, and then they put Isabella in the credit. I'm like, why?
Can I ask you a question then? Because I know you as a person, you just like to go by Bella as your name, but would you consider Bella Perota a screen name?
You said my name incorrectly.
Sorry. What is it?
It's Perota.
Perota.
I know, it's tough.
Can you spell that for me, Anthony?
Perrotta.
Nice. Okay.
I can spell it.
What was the question again?
Would you consider that a screen name?
Yeah, it recently came to my attention that Isabella Perota is like a really cool name. Instead of Bella Perotta, Isabella Perotta is just very like Italian and cool. So now I'm not sure.
Okay. If you wanted my opinion, which yes. I know you didn't ask for it, Bella Perotta rolls off the tongue way smoother.
Really?
And I think when people are talking about, you know, when they see your ponytail, you're like, you're the ponytail girl.
Yeah, that's true.
They'd be like, you're Bella Perotta, and it's like it's a little bit easier, and like I feel like it. It'll spread by word of mouth a lot quicker.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know you guys just got by your real names.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I struggled with, believe it or not. I struggled a lot because, you know, there's not many different variations of the name Steven. there's either Steven or Steve. And people would always ask me, and I would never have an answer for them. And then they'd start calling me, all right, well, I'm just going to call you Steve. And I'm like, I don't want that. Don't do that. and so I've finally made the decision. It's Steven.
Okay.
Yeah, it only took me 24 years.
We got there.
Yeah, I mean, like, technically my full name is Catherine, but I just go by Katie because I'm like, my last name is so long as it is. I just don't need to add any more letters.
Buenizalt. Right?
But it's, yeah, we say Boisenault, or the French would be, I think, Boissonneau, but Boissonneau. I'm like, that just is like Boissonneau. Too much to expect of people.
Special talent, long last name.
Yeah, having all the vowels besides Y, if you count it.
Anthony goes by Anthony.
Yeah.
That's his full
name. I will say, even though I'm not really an actor, I do not like being called Tony. I like Anthony. There's only, I don't know why I'm going to tell this right now, but there's only two people in this world who are allowed to call me Tony. And that is my soccer coach from like when I was a kid, because his name was also Tony. He just would call me Tony too. And my ninth grade science teacher, who on the first day of school, you know, was going through the attendance and was like, and he got to me and he's like, do you go by Tony? And I'm like, no. And he just continued to call me Tony for the rest of the year.
That's so aggressive.
And I was just like, okay, because I'm Tony now.
My full name is Nicholas with an H, but I don't think to go by that.
Could Nicholas even be spelled differently? Like the full, like the
sometimes there's not an H.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Oh yeah, I guess. So.
But the K is always just made up.
Yeah.
I guess you could be NIC, like nicotine.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool. Nicotine.
That'd be kind of cool. Oh man, hold on, I gotta make a phone call. Okay, but what is the best food? I'm going to correct this question.
Yeah.
Because on sets, you know, especially when they're long, there's catering, and there's El Clasico pizza, which, you know, never gets old, ever. And this is coming from someone who just got pizza for a thing yesterday, because I was just like, I don't want to get, like, wings or something. I was like, it comes in a circle. It's like a big, use your hands.
Easily servable. Sure. Like, it's not. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the best food you've had on set?
Because they had the budget. White Noise, it was the Netflix movie. They would bring food trucks sometimes. And I was not acting in that. I was a production assistant for costumes. So the best one I remember was like an overnight. And we got like a coffee truck where you could like order coffee for free, you know, just get coffee. And then they had a bagel, like Cocky's Bagels. So you could also get like a bagel. It just hit in the middle of the night. Like you wouldn't believe. Yeah. It was amazing.
What kind of bagel did you get?
Oh, gosh. I don't even remember. Because I go there now, like, as a civilian. But, like, at the time.
As a civilian?
Yeah. But that night, I think I just got some. It was, I think they had, like, a vegetarian type bagel. And I was like, give me that. And it was delicious. Like, probably was, like, you know, I don't know. It probably was delicious, but it was 10 times better because it was in the middle of the night and free.
Honestly, pizza. Look, I'm a glutton and pizza's always good. Like, even if it's bad, you know, it's still pretty good, you know. And like all of my friends, they're always talking about how, because there's a Hungry Howie's that lives. That is in business right up the street, and I'm always like, I could just walk up to Hungry Howie's and get, like, you know, one of them hot and ready's.
It's so cheap.
It's dirt cheap, and everybody's like, there's a reason it's dirt cheap. It tastes bad, and I'm like, you know, you guys have really elevated palates because I don't mind it.
I actually can't really tell.
I can't. Either. Like all chain pizza tastes the exact same.
Howard chefs it up. He chefs it up different.
Really though, like if there's that garlic butter sauce and seasoning on the crust. Mm-hmm. I'll get three of them. I swear to God.
Mm-hmm. Hungry Howie's, please sponsor us.
Yeah.
A sponsor from Hungry Howie's would be like $4.
Yeah. No, they would actually just send us a pizza. That would be it. Anyways,
I take that.
It was a student set, and they had somebody, like one person specifically in charge of, what's it called?
Craft.
Yeah.
Services.
And he, like, at his house, made all home-cooked food.
Whoa.
And it was like so much, like it was like a buffet. And I don't really remember what it was like, mashed potatoes, like literally like Thanksgiving food. It was so sweet. Yeah, I was very happy about that.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're okay. What do I have to do to get these roles?
You were filming at that Crafty's house. Is that what it was?
No, he brought it with like, you know, just tin foil over it. Oh, and yeah.
Okay. I thought you actually did the cooking at.
No, okay. No. We also did Cane's another day at that set. Cane's which I'd never Cane's had that on set. It was very good.
Cane's is yummy. So,
yeah.
I just got Cane's yesterday and I want them again.
Oh yeah, I know. I'm about to get some on the way home. But also shout out Boss Chicken Beer. If you like Cane's, you're gonna really love Boss Chicken Beer.
Boss Chicken Beer.
I've heard of it.
There's only a few and they're up by Cleveland. So if you're ever in the area, I think there's one in Berea and Bay Village.
Is there one in Bay Village?
Yeah, there's one in Bay Village, and it just opened.
Okay.
But yeah, it's dope chicken place.
Have you ever? Going back to the edit, was there ever a performance that you or a specific delivery you really liked and then you watched the final product? Or this doesn't include you, Steven, because you haven't watched your final products. But no, I'm just kidding. But and you were like, they didn't use that one or like, oh man, I really, really wish they didn't use that one, the one that I like definitely messed up. So Steven, I have an example for you in Bunkers.
Okay, go for it.
So there's a line in Bunkers So here's the thing about Bunkers. I was the cinematographer for it, so I was running camera. I was not chosen to be cinematographer. I was more kind of just like – I was the free space because nobody else was available, and my girlfriend is the person directing and writing it. So I was just like, I'll do it if you can't find anybody. She couldn't find anybody. So I, not a cinematographer – not really. I can do it okay. Ran the camera the whole time, and it's all handheld. It's like all on like a shoulder mount, and like the first day, or like even the first 2 days really, I screwed up. So apparently pulling focus, like keeping the people in focus, is like really hard. And when you're also pointing the camera at people, and again I have to like, I'm like maneuvering the camera, I ruined a lot of takes. And I didn't tell her a lot of the times that it happened because I didn't want her to get mad at me. But then because of that, editing Bunkers was like going through like a maze where I had to like find the one like part, like the one well, like that it's like the shot I want and it's like the delivery works. And one of the examples where the only take that like really worked but ended up being funny in a different way is you flub a line where you're, I think you say something to the effect of like, it's the line is supposed to be, homeschooling provides a level of education that few have the benefits of receiving. Right. Because he's like a homeschooled like loser kid.
Okay. I mean, that's just like your opinion, man.
But what he says in the specific delivery was, homeschooling provides a level of education that few have the benefit, that few, homeschooling provides a level of education that few ever receive the benefits of, like you say it kind of like that, but it comes off so whiny and annoying that it's really funny. And we just use that. And so now I quote it.
Oh, great. Awesome. Yeah, I'm definitely not watching Bunkers.
That was a good accidental bit of comedy there for sure. But, I mean, that being said, Steven, you were amazing on Bunkers. I don't want
to
have the one example be when you flubbed on it. You were, I was edit, because I have also edited it. So I watched so much of Steve Livingston. I've watched so much of you performing in that thing the past couple weeks. But just like, it's such a good performance.
Thank you. Because you say that to all the girls.
I'm having to notice all, like, I'm having to, like, really analyze, like, all of the takes you do and, like, the performances just because I have to, like, get the best ones. And it's, like, not, I don't really notice this until I, like, zoom in to, like, the actual, like, how you deliver this line or how you consistently deliver this line or, like, do this movement. And I'm just, like, I'm watching. I'm just, like, dude, what the? You're so good, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Could you tell Hollywood so they could come pick me up?
Hey, Hollywood. Yeah.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure.
We got a little off track.
We got off topic, my bad. I'm gushing.
Right, we were talking about food on set.
We're talking
right.
about...
No.
We're talking about line stuff that didn't make the cut. Or did everything just...
I don't remember like a specific delivery, but I will say there was this one swan song movie where, like, that I was working on. And I was disappointed that they, like, cut. There's, like, some neighborhood business, and, like, the scene got cut so much. And I was like, oh, but there was such good stuff. Well, it seemed, like, good, but I don't know how it looked on camera. Mm. And also there was a scene where we were, like, in the club, and, like, we were dancing. And, like, one of the other guys who was working on it with me, like, he had this hilarious Lemon Man outfit on. He looked so funny. And he was, like, in the background of a scene. And we were like, please put that in. Please, please. And it didn't end up.
Probably too distracting.
Yeah. I mean, yes, probably it was. It was so funny unintentionally, but... yeah, I was rooting for it, but that did not pan out. But.
For me, like, not really line deliveries. Sometimes I just think I don't look that cute in the in the angles that they chose to go with. Because, you know, I have insecurities. And the camera's so close. But honestly, like, it used to annoy me, but then it started to make me feel better about myself. Because I was like, oh, the director, the editor, they didn't care. Like, that pimple did not affect the acting. I thought it did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought it did. Like, honestly, in the morning, I was like, they're not going to want to use any of these takes. I have a pimple today. Mm-hmm. And they did. They wanted them. So, yeah.
It's a really healthy way to, like, look at it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Katie, you worked on White Noise. Yeah. You were a costume PA.
Yeah.
Did either Steven or Bella, did you guys work on White Noise?
No. How do you get a role like that just to even be a PA on, like, a feature film set?
Honestly, I feel like I wish I could give you a good answer, but it's just luck and, like, willing to just be there. Because, like, your lucky strike moment will happen, but it's just, like, you have to keep knocking on the door until someone's finally behind it. So, like, for me, I graduated from college, and I worked on this movie called Swan Song, and it had, like, Jennifer Coolidge and Udo Kier, and it ended up going on Hulu. And it was just, like, a very, like, low-budget indie movie. Like, it was very, like, I think it was, like, funded, like, yeah, I don't know, it was super small, and I did not expect it to do as well as it did, but it connected me. Like, I worked on it for free, you know, I just graduated, was living with my parents, and, like, volunteered to help out. And then I met this, like, network of, you know, Cleveland film people who work on amazing things. So, like, they just were like, hey, this is a passion project that I'm willing to back. And, you know, so then they just, if they like you, and if you make the long days a little bit better, people will remember you, and then they'll be like, hey, you want to do this other thing with me? So it's like one thing leads to another. That's pretty much how I've gotten where I'm at, is that I just am persistent.
Connections.
Yeah.
Connections, yeah.
Yeah.
I like the New York Times game, but mm-hmm. actual connection. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think all of you guys have so much potential. It's just a matter of just waiting for the right person to notice mm-hmm. that.
That's so kind of you. Thank you. Yeah, yeah, really.
Seriously. I'm happy to do this podcast with talented people. Oh, yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. We've been having a lot of fun with this. I did come think of this, because we talked about this in a previous episode that we recorded. And the question was, like, do you usually get more roles, like, from people, like, you know? Like, you actually get, like, casted for the role.
NYT connections.
No.
Yes.
Mm. Well, like, connections, like, because you know the person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yes. Recently, that has been the case. Honestly, ever since, like, even before pre-COVID, after I graduated, I did a summer camp, kind of like a theater summer camp over in Orange on the east side of Cleveland. And one of the employees there said, hey, we're doing this show at Lakeland Community College, and we need another guy, and I think you'd be great for that role. And the show was called The Inspector General, which it's a very old Russian play. Mm-hmm. It was I want to say it was in the 1800s it was written, and it's about a case of mistaken identity, and I played the guy who was mistaken for somebody else.
And kinda like North by Northwest.
I am ashamed to say I've never seen it.
It's actually a pretty good movie.
Is that Hitchcock?
It's Hitchcock.
Okay.
Hitchcock's like the only...
It's the
Hitchcock makes most movies. It's like after a certain point, it's like you're watching it, it's like it's historical.
It's the it's the movie with the famous scene of the guy who's the plane. On the plane and it's coming down and he's like running at the camera.
Right. But yeah, and then she texted me or asked me at work, and she was just like, I think you should go out for that. And then I auditioned for Crooks, and I got that role. And
through
then,
like backstage or
through Facebook, actually. Oh. Noah and Tristan had posted a
shout out.
Yeah, shout out Noah and Tristan. And they posted something on Facebook in that Facebook group that I'm no longer a part of. And then
you watched The Social Network.
Yeah. And then it just kind of snowballed from there for Kent. And
yeah.
I know for Powerball, a lot of the same crew worked on Powerball that was on Crooks. And then again for Bunkers recently.
Yeah, yep. There's kind of a chain there because you're on Crooks and then we wanted you for Powerball and then Olivia wanted you for Bunkers.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's fun to kind of follow that thread.
I fully expect to be down here next spring for another one.
Yeah. Yep.
It also makes me kind of sad because it's like, just thinking about those connections, like if one of those links wasn't there, like it's a completely different story.
Yeah,
totally.
But it's best not to. It's probably a good idea to dwell on that because it's like it's a what if scenario, you know.
Right.
Either way,
I feel like you can do it like a positive spin on it too, of like, you know, I don't know, if it happened, it'll keep happening. You know, if you keep showing up, because I don't know, like it's 100%. Like a lot of the things that I get come from something else, and like the art industry is very small. It's actually kind of scary because, like, the more I've been working, like, my circles here, like, all combine after a certain point. Like, people I went to college with, work with people that I work in, you know, Cleveland with, like, people that I'm, you know, I don't know. It's crazy how small it actually is. So, like, once you just have those few connections, it's like, I don't know, it almost just starts to explode outward. Like, more and more keep happening. It's like, more dominoes fall down.
Yeah.
Right now, my roles are like half and half, half auditions that I found myself and half connections. Mm-hmm. The most, like, I got the majority of my connections from doing Grab Bag for a year on TV2.
Yeah.
And that, like,
technically it was Agenda at the point.
Agenda, yeah. Agenda, like, that is what made me go into acting.
Really?
Finally. Yeah. Because I was a nursing major for a year and a half in college, and I was taking medical classes for 2 years in high school, so I was very set on being a nurse. But of course I had this dream that was so risky, so scary to go from extreme job security to
right
to the arts. And I would go to the Agenda meetings and just look around at all of these artists, and I thought, every single person in here is braver than I am. Yeah. So just go for their dreams.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna call you out. You definitely were a bit shy.
Yes.
It's the, for context, viewers. Sorry, not viewers. You're not watching this because there's no dang video. It's our university's student-run sketch comedy show. Oh, wow. We do weekly live.
You have a shirt on right now for it.
I do. Oh. I am wearing this shirt right now. I think this was actually the season.
Yeah, the season that
season you were on.
Yeah. You're on the back of that shirt.
You are on the back of my shirt. Yeah.
But has now been renamed to Grab Bag. But essentially, it's kind of the same thing for the most part.
Same concept. Yeah.
Anyways,
sorry about that.
Yeah, I was shy because there was a community that I'd never ever been a part of.
Mm-hmm.
I was a science girly.
STEM girly.
A woman in STEM. Yeah.
Woman in STEM.
So it was very intimidating, but you guys inspired me to go into film for sure. Yeah,
and I remember your audition, and it was so good. I'm like, holy crap, I gotta I'm picking her.
Yeah.
And you gave me a headshot too, and I was like, for context, I've never gotten a headshot, like a physical one. I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah, Anthony was like, someone gave me a headshot. I don't.
Do I like frame this? Like, so yes. I gave it
get
back.
Yeah,
I gave it back because I'm like, I don't want to. I'm not gonna waste this.
Give it back, dude. That's the funniest thing you could have done.
Headshots are expensive. I would have appreciated that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's what you said to me. You were like, this looks expensive. You can.
Yeah. Oh man.
Headshots. How often are you like encouraged to do those as a screen actor?
Every 2 to 3 years, I've been told, but sources can differ.
Do you get those like through like a guy, or is do you have like a friend with a camera?
You're supposed to get them professionally done. Yeah. I got shout out Shannon Allstrand. She did a terrific job. She's based in Cleveland.
You know, I want to go there. Yeah, that's literally what I'm about to do. Is yeah, get go, headshots with her soon.
Go to Shannon. She'll hook you up. But she did a great job with my headshots. But they are buku bucks. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the times, you know, if you can find a friend that's a really good photographer, they can take pictures. But what Shannon did differently is because I'm represented by the talent group, shout out the talent group. At least I'm pretty sure I'm still represented by them.
Tentative shout out.
But they do a lot of commercial bids. Yeah. And so what she did is she ran me through a bunch of professional headshots, a little bit more dressed down headshots for like, you know, more casual roles. And then she also did like some stills for like what commercial and print jobs would look like. Like I was holding a bag over my shoulder, walking to class with a coffee in my hand type, you know, and caught me in action looking like a model. She made me look great. So shout out Shannon. But yeah, they are for a good set of headshots. They're going to cost you. And that therein lies the plight of being a starving artist.
Mm-hmm. Keep you starving.
Mm-hmm.
Hungry for more work.
Can I ask a question then? Have you all ever actually done like commercial work, like TV commercial work, I should say?
Not me. No. I
have
nothing.
Sorry, I know, a big smile just spread across my face and I realized I might have been hogging the spotlight.
It's okay.
But I actually have been in a Cleveland State commercial.
Oh.
Wait, was
a commercial by Cleveland State students or a commercial for Cleveland State?
For Cleveland State by CSU's marketing department.
Okay.
Oh man.
I can't. Honestly, it was kind of wild because we were just. I was sitting in the department building or the theater department, or I think I was on main campus, and I was just hanging out with my girlfriend, and a friend of ours walks up and says, "Hey, the CSU marketing team needs a couple more bodies for the ad that they're shooting," and it was for living on campus, student life at CSU.
Yep.
And they gave us like, I think it ended up being like $10 and a Cleveland State long sleeve shirt, but they literally just filmed us taking a tour of the campus, and your boy had a speaking line. And I turned around, like we were walking, I turned around, I looked dead at the camera and said, "Yeah, this place feels like home."
Yes, nailed it. Nailed it.
Thank you. Still got it. I'm pretty sure it's on there in like the depths of YouTube somewhere. Whoa. If I can find it, I'll send it out.
Okay. Maybe.
But yeah, that's the only one. That's the only one.
That would kind of, but based on your story, that seemed like you kind of gotten thrown into that like on the spot.
Yep.
Okay. I was wondering if like there's a difference between commercial acting versus like, film acting, I guess, if you will. I don't know if that's like the best way to phrase it, because it's still screen acting, but like the purpose of the product is very different, if you will.
Yes. We took, during one of my auditions classes at CSU, my instructor brought in one of her friends from Tri-C, and he taught us how to film for the camera. And my professor was also in a couple films herself and some commercials too. And it can go either way with commercials. Is basically the gist that they told us. Like they either want you to deliver it exactly how every single other person will deliver it. They're just looking for the demographic.
Yep.
Or they want you to be as creative as possible and do something that nobody else will ever think of doing. So it's either or.
It's probably because with the being like creative and like doing something like nobody has ever thought of. That's probably the thing of like you. As a business, and you know you're trying to like sell your product, and obviously there's competition. You need to stand out.
Right.
So you need to break through the clutter is what I've learned in my advertising classes. Shout out advertising majors here at Kent State. Yeah.
He's an ad minor.
Yes. Anyways.
Anyways, advertising is for headshots. Do you use those on your socials and stuff too?
Oh, yeah.
Can you use your headshot as, like, a driver's license photo?
I wish. It probably would be better.
Yeah.
I want to use it for everything after I spend the money.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I think it'd be fun to use a driver's license photo as your headshot.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the BMV requires it be the worst picture of you imaginable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. The camera is pointed down and up at you, and the flash goes off, and
if you're like me, if you have glasses, you have to take them off, so there's no glare.
I didn't take my glasses off.
You didn't take your glasses off? Oh, they made me take mine off.
I went a couple weeks ago.
Here, look, because I turned 21 in December, so.
Happy belated.
Thank you. I look like a...
Dude, you look like you've been arrested.
Mugshot.
Yeah. Again, this is a podcast, and you can't see what I'm showing everybody in the room right now.
Just post the driver's license on social media.
Yeah, oh, that's such a great idea. I think I'm going to do that. Well, I think we should probably wrap things up here, because we're a bit... I shouldn't say a bit over. I mean, this has been a great...
We're 16 over, but it's been a good episode, guys.
I just want to talk about anything else that we have not talked about yet.
Now's your time. We're giving you a platform.
I want to shout out my parents. No, legitimately, when I switched from nursing to acting, my parents were very, very supportive. And that I find myself so lucky to have that. Not everybody has that privilege. Shout out mom and dad.
Any socials? Any upcoming projects? Yeah. That
this is your time to plug stuff.
This will come out in a week.
Instagram handle steven.withav. And then I'm patiently awaiting the arrival of Bunkers. Yeah. Very excited for that, but nothing else in the works at the moment.
We're about a month out, probably.
Hell yeah.
If you type in Katie Boisnall, if you can figure out how to spell that, you can probably find me. I'm not very consistent with my handles, which is something I should work on. But I'm coming to the end of a project, so hopefully by the time you hear this, I'll have my life figured out and I'll have something else going
retweet,
on.
Retweet.
Yeah.
Or re-X, is it now? Is that what we got to say?
I think it's just repost.
Repost.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm dead naming Twitter forever.
Fair enough.
My Instagram is bella.perrotta, pronounced parada.
Okay, sorry. Yeah.
Two R's and parada. Two T's, don't forget.
Yeah. My B.
I don't know. I have a bunch of stuff coming out in May.
How much stuff is coming out in May that you're in?
I believe 6 or 7.
Dude. Oh, my God. Yeah. You're really going through the Kent State DMP pipeline of being in everybody's project.
Damn.
No wonder everybody can recognize the ponytail. That's you know iconic. Everybody.
Yeah, I have my hair in a ponytail today.
And you can follow us too at Instagram at @actnaturalpod.
Because Act Natural Podcast was taken.
Anyways, we're gonna go now. Hear you later. Bye.
Bye.